This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Profile of a killer. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, July 19th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Police in Indiana say the man who fatally shot three people and injured two others at a mall was a 20-year-old man with a juvenile record.
Parts of the U.S. are bracing for more unseasonably high temperatures. Meanwhile, hundreds have died in Europe from extreme heat.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, the face of the coronavirus pandemic, says he'll retire by the end of President Biden's current term.
And retailers may be discounting clothes on the rack, but we are still paying more.
Part of the reason they saw that is people were looking for jeans to wear back to the office, and that the work code for dress had changed because of the pandemic.
Melissa Repko at CNBC on Americans sprucing up their work wardrobes with changing styles. We're learning more about the mall shooting in Indiana. The alleged gunman was identified as 20-year-old Jonathan Sapperman, a former warehouse worker who had a juvenile record for things like fighting at school and being a runaway. Police say he killed three people and injured two others when he opened fire in the food court at the Greenwood Park Mall south of Indianapolis. Authorities say he likely smuggled weapons in a backpack and reassembled them in a bathroom before the attack. He had two rifles, a pistol, multiple magazines, and over 100 rounds of ammunition. Greenwood Police Chief James Eisen.
Right now we have no motive. His family members that we spoke to, they were just as surprised as everyone else was. They said there were no indicators that he was violent or unstable.
Meanwhile, 22-year-old Elijah Dickin, who had been shopping at the mall, killed the shooter with a 9mm pistol he was lawfully carrying. Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb loosened the state's gun laws in March when he signed a permitless carry bill into law. The Texas Department of Public Safety will form an internal committee to review the response by state law enforcement to the elementary school shooting in Uvalde. The announcement comes on the heels of a scathing probe by Texas legislators. The report spread blame for why it took more than an hour for police and other officers to confront and kill the 18-year-old gunman at Robb Elementary School in late May. 19 students and two teachers were killed in that massacre. 17-year-old Jasmine Caceres lost her 9-year-old sister.
What are you guys going to do to make sure I don't have to watch my friends die? What are you going to do to make sure I don't have to wait 77 minutes bleeding out on my classroom floor just like my little sister did?
In a statement, DPS said it will also determine where the department can make necessary improvements for future mass casualty responses. The initial report said Robb Elementary had a culture of noncompliance, with staffers propping open doors and circumventing locks. Hundreds of people are reported dead due to an extreme heat wave in much of Europe and the United Kingdom. Meteorologists are calling it an apocalypse. At least 748 heat-related deaths have been reported in Spain and neighboring Portugal, where temperatures reached 117 degrees this month. Here in the States, it's no picnic either. Meteorologist Brian Hurley of the National Weather Service.
A lot of excessive heat warnings and heat advisories in the southern plain, Texas, Oklahoma, and parts of Arkansas. And then we also have some heat advisories, excessive heat warnings going into parts of the central plains like Nebraska, Wyoming, even Idaho.
Meanwhile, it never got below 77 degrees last night in the UK, the warmest night on record. Most newspaper front pages today in the UK feature a picture of a Queen's Guard sentry being given a sip of water outside Buckingham Palace. It could be even hotter today in Britain and most of Europe. Few homes, apartments, schools, or small businesses have air conditioning, making residents vulnerable.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Economists increasingly expect the Federal Reserve, in its efforts to push down inflation, to raise rates enough to trigger a recession, with many worrying the central bank will go too far. With an update on the balance that officials are trying to strike, here's Gwen Guilford, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Gwen, where are we ahead of next week's meeting?
Yeah, so the Fed inflation, obviously 9.1% in June, it's out of control. It's really high, alarmingly high, and the Fed is scrambling to catch up. And the risk is that it raises rates too much, too fast, and that, you know, causes unemployment to go up and tips the economy into a recession, and it makes the economy weaken in more than it needed to bring inflation down. And in this survey we conducted in July of 62 economists, some 46% said that that's what they expect to happen. Now, 42% said that they expect the Fed to tighten about the right amount to balance inflation and growth. So, you know, it's close to evenly split there. And then another 12% expect the Fed to do too little to bring inflation under control.
All right. So they're not saying this, and I'm using kind of layman's terms, but to a certain extent, does the Fed need like some sort of recession, or do they want to come close but not have a recession? Like, what, I don't know. What's the wording?
Yeah. So the Fed, you know, if it's possible to bring inflation under control without causing a recession, you know, obviously they want to do that. It's hard to get all these things right. And inflation is a lagging variable. You know, if they're making an impact on inflation, it won't show up for a couple months maybe. And in that time, you know, people could have overreacted, pulled back on spending, pulled back on investment in a way that causes, you know, layoffs and unemployment to rise. These things are really hard to get right, which is why the Fed, you know, has not historically managed to tighten without triggering a recession most of the time. Economists debate a couple episodes, but it's really hard to get all that right. Now, the one thing about this situation is that it's, you know, we still have this pandemic weirdness and the Ukraine conflict adding another layer of complexity to that. So things are strange enough that, you know, it's more possible than you might think in a normal business cycle.
We're speaking with Gwen Guilford, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called "As Fed Tightens, Economists Worry It Will Go Too Far." You said, too, that economists' labor market forecast suggests that if there's a recession, it will be relatively mild. But, like, what does that mean?
Yeah, so many of the economists, you know, we ask them how much they expect payrolls to continue to increase, you know, how many jobs will be added. And on average, they expect, you know, a pretty healthy number of jobs to be added each month from now until, you know, pretty late in 2023. And that's pretty heartening. And even the group that expects a recession to hit in the next 12 months, they still thought that the gains of jobs over that, the net gain over that period of time would be positive. So they don't, you know, it's very hard to call all this, and economists tend to be a little bit more optimistic than, you know, ends up being the case sometimes with jobs numbers. But in general, that suggests that the recession that we might experience is going to be mild and, you know, very likely much milder than, you know, the pandemic recession or the 2007-09 recession, which obviously was super brutal. You know, and that is if we experience a recession in the next 12, 18 months, yeah, which, you know, many expect not to happen.
So the next, I guess, significant step that many will be watching will be the Fed's meeting later this month, when it will have to decide whether a 75 versus 100 basis points increase is proper, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, this consensus seems to be that we're looking at 75 probably. But yeah, it could go to 100 basis points. And then, you know, we've got a couple meetings after that. And, you know, the question really is, like, where do we get to the neutral rate so you're not, you know, things aren't so easy that you have too much growth that's fueling inflation versus, you know, tightening so much that you start to throttle the economy.
Thanks, Gwen. Gwen Gilford, economics reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Emotions reached a boiling point last night during a forum hosted by the school board in Uvalde, one day after a 77-page report by a joint committee of the Texas legislature slammed the police response to the incident and the school district's lack of preparation for such an attack. The meeting, held so community members could ask questions about safety and security plans for the upcoming school year, quickly became a tinderbox of emotion and anger. Rhett Cross, uncle of one of the children killed, called for the firing of Police Chief Pete Arredondo.
If he's not fired by noon tomorrow, then I want your resignation and every single one of you board members, because y'all do not give a damn about our children or us.
The committee investigating the massacre said Arredondo failed to take on the role of incident commander or transfer the responsibility to another officer.
Number two.
The man accused of opening fire in a food court in an Indiana mall likely smuggled weapons and a backpack and reassembled them in a bathroom before killing three people. Greenwood Police Chief James Eisen identified the shooter as 20-year-old Jonathan Sepperman, a former warehouse worker.
His past incidents with the Greenwood Police Department include minor offenses as a juvenile, such as a fight at school and being a juvenile runaway.
The shooter was shot dead by an armed shopper. The Wall Street Journal says Pentagon leadership is reviewing an assessment of the military's role in the Afghanistan conflict, but hasn't decided if aspects of the highly classified document will be released. The draft report is one of a series of assessments each agency is conducting to assemble a record of the U.S.'s role in Afghanistan. So far, none of the reports has been released, preventing a public accounting of the administration's decision-making and execution. A gown worn by Marilyn Monroe in her 1954 classic film There's No Business Like Show Business has sold for nearly $218,800, more than double its pre-sale estimate. The dress attracted 18 bids both online and during a live auction on Sunday in Los Angeles. The figure-hugging flesh-tone gown is embellished with silver and pearl beads. The interest in the dress may have been heightened by Kim Kardashian wearing another of Monroe's dresses to the Met Gala in May.
Thanks, Jen. Do you know what over 100 million people worldwide have in common? Their password, 123456. When NordPass researched 50 different countries' top passwords, that was number one. Here in the U.S., too. It's like some people want to get hacked. But believe me, you don't. That's why you need NordPass. NordPass isn't just a password manager. It's an essential cybersecurity tool. It generates secure passwords and stores them all in one place. You can even securely store your credit cards there, too, to save time shopping and browsing. NordPass has a very easy user-friendly setup. I was ready to go in just a couple of minutes. And I love how simple it is to organize your data into categories like credit cards or secure notes. That's for things like our Wi-Fi password or the office alarm code. And if you don't like it, it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Get an exclusive NordPass deal plus one additional month free at nordpass.com/Gordon or use code Gordon at checkout. That's an exclusive deal plus one additional month free if you go to nordpass.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. A woman in Denver was scheduled to start her new job this week, which was actually her old job after recently taking a higher paying job and then getting fired from it. Why? For posting TikTok videos about her salary. Here's Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. Terry, explain what happened.
This is just a really interesting piece that I kind of came across and thought it'd be pretty interesting in so many ways, too, as a fair warning on what you do and may say or post on social media. There was a young lady in Denver, Lexi Larson, who posted on her TikTok account last month about how she got a new job in the tech industry that raised her income from $70,000 to $90,000. You know, the video received more than 168,000 views. And then, you know, as some of her comments, she kept getting more questions about how did she do that. So for the next 2 weeks after, she posted more videos about how she got the job. And then her employers found out soon after about her TikTok account. You know, she moved some videos fearing that she might, you know, get in some sort of trouble. She later said in a video that she was fired for her post for telling people about her salary and otherwise and how to kind of like get that job.
But you're allowed to talk about your salary and stuff. So what was the employer's beef? Did they indicate what the issue was, if what she says is true?
According to her, you know, yeah, she is allowed to talk about her salary because it's federally protected by law under the National Labor Relations Act. And, you know, but still, you know, she took down the video, some videos out of, as a precaution. She said in a TikTok post, quote, "They ended up firing me because they said me having this account was a safety concern because I could post something private about the company," unquote. You know, she didn't respond, but, you know, she was pretty clear in her post about the company's kind of like, I guess, concerns. And, you know, only being there for 2 weeks, you know, she started a job and was let go. Seemed kind of like, you know, if you're an outsider looking in, seemed kind of odd and alike. And so I think that's what brought the story kind of like to our attention, and trying to see how everything would unravel from when we first saw it to, you know, the story just recently coming out.
We're speaking with Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. His story is called "TikTok Got Me Fired. Here's What You Should Ponder Before Hitting Send." I guess it's possible she was in direct violation of some written policy, but 2 weeks on the job seems short. Like, I, you know, she didn't get a warning of some kind, right?
Yeah, you would think you would get some kind of warning, and or if the company had a policy, were you aware of it and the like? And so that's where things kind of, it almost goes into like knowing your rights to a degree, reading everything that what you sign up for. Read, and I think, you know, sometimes we all kind of maybe, you know, skim through things and maybe not pay close attention, or reading some, say, you say back in our time, the fine print. Reading very closely and having, I guess, being having good knowledge of what your company's policies are, even if you, before you sign anything, have a good sense of what some of their policies are, ranging from work, vacation, salary, and also even your use on social media. What rights do you have with respect to the law?
Thanks, Terry. Terry Collins, money and tech reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
Bringing the world to your door every morning. This is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Tuesday, July 19. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The Indiana mall shooter was a 20-year-old with a juvenile record. Scorching temps affecting much of the U.S. Dr. Anthony Fauci says he'll retire before the end of Biden's first term. Uber paying penalties for charging wait times to disabled passengers who needed extra time to get into a vehicle. Washington Post columnist Perry Bacon wants the media to cover President Biden, quote, more positively. Sports, Juan Soto of the Nationals won the home run derby, and an Ohio couple, together 80 years, shares their secrets to happiness. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies provides growing businesses with the tools to do incredible things. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. Prices for clothing rose 5.2% in June on a year-over-year basis. We're paying more to refresh our wardrobes, even as retailers like Walmart, Target, and Gap mark down prices to eat away at excess inventory. An explainer from This Morning's Jennifer Koshenka.
Excess inventory has racked up in many retailers' warehouses and stores, but as CNBC's Melissa Repko tells us, shoppers are still paying more as they refresh their closets. Melissa, I thought the excess inventory was supposed to bring prices down.
Yes, I think a lot of people thought that too, but so far we're really not seeing that. It may take some time for that to play out.
So what is going on?
There's a couple of different factors at play here. One is that we're still going through a period where people really need to refresh their wardrobe or feel pressure to as they're going back out into the world again. So they're spending more time at the office in some cases or going to weddings, and that's causing them to buy items.
Melissa, are prices coming down for things like sweats and the stuff that we were wearing during the pandemic the most?
In some cases, yes. We are hearing from companies like Walmart, Target, and Gap that they had excess items like fleeces, for example, and sweatshirts and sweatpants, and some of that was not selling through as quickly as it might have in the past. So some of those types of items may be on sale in places, yet, you know, there is a bit of a mix and match going on where people may be pairing a blazer as they go back to the office with a pair of loose-fitting jeans. Levi's was another company that reported a strong quarter recently and said that part of the reason they saw that is people were looking for jeans to wear back to the office, and that the work code for dress had changed because of the pandemic.
Are retailers starting to match inventory with what we want better than they had been?
That's been a challenge for everyone, and some of that is because of the different type of consumer. There is no one consumer. There's some that are, you know, feeling a little bit more comfortable financially, and there are other lower-income consumers. And so the struggle for retailers is how to figure out what kinds of clothing to put on their shelves, and then also which price point. So, for example, I was talking to a market research firm, and they were telling me that swimsuits have been selling at a higher price point lately. Swimsuits of $100 or more are selling at higher rates, but ones of $70 and less are selling at a lower rate.
We're speaking with CNBC's Melissa Repko. Along the same lines, it's higher income shoppers that are really helping the market stay afloat, right?
That's right. They're really playing a role there. And part of that is because they have that willingness to pay the full price. They're not waiting for the sale or the promotion. They really just want to buy what they want.
Any idea how the back-to-school shopping season is going to look?
So I've heard from a few different retail analysts that apparel is expected to be a strong category within back-to-school supplies. So over the past 2 years, we've seen electronics really leading the way as students were having hybrid schedules. But a lot of parents might say, hey, I got a new laptop last year. Instead, maybe this year I'll focus more on back-to-school outfits.
Getting back to that inventory dilemma for retailers, it's hard for them to stay ahead of what's happening, as we've seen, especially through the pandemic. Are they all locked into what they've ordered for the holiday shopping season already?
In a lot of cases, yes. Many of them have already placed those orders that happened months ago. Then again, a lot of these retailers have also become more nimble, and they've looked to domestic suppliers. And so because they've practiced that muscle of moving quickly to replenish shelves, that may help them this holiday season. We'll really just have to see.
So we are seeing a lessening of the supply chain crunch, especially coming from places like China and Vietnam?
It's hard to say. It really depends on which goods we're talking about here. But in general, I would say the general consensus of retailers is that regardless of where that stuff is coming from, they're in a bit of an overcorrecting phase where they have more than they need, and they're trying to figure out what to do with it, whether that's liquidating, doing more promotions, or packing up those items, put them in a warehouse, and maybe bring them out for the holidays.
So if you're looking for a new dress or a suit for a wedding, or you do want to buy sweatpants or something, is the advice really to go store by store to see if there are any sales?
Yes, I would say going store by store is the way to go, and on the whole, promotions really have, by and large, come back. Even though apparel prices are inflated, there are more sales to be had. There are more promotions. And a lot of that is because as supply comes back, retailers are able to provide more stuff. And so it goes back to supply and demand.
That's this morning's Jennifer Koshenka with retail reporter Melissa Repko at CNBC.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. We know that the UK is baking under a record-breaking heat wave, and many homes there aren't equipped with air conditioning. Most movie theaters do have AC, however, and that makes it an ideal place to cool down for a few hours. And this news makes it even better for some people. A British movie theater chain called Showcase Cinemas is offering free tickets to people with red hair. The offer was good for showtimes yesterday or today. The chain's website says that since redheads are often more vulnerable than most to the sun's rays, we're giving them shelter from the sun inside our fully air-conditioned cinema screens to catch the latest blockbusters for no cost at all. The promotion is limited to one ticket per day for each red-haired person.
Ah, all right. You know, I was thinking just as you were reading the story, because as we're learning, many people in Europe and the UK, including homes, small businesses, schools, right, offices, don't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
What if you and I just like went to like Home Depot or Lowe's, gobbled up all these window units.
Right.
And just...
just hopped on a plane.
Yeah, just ship them like...
or ship them maybe, yeah, yeah.
To triple the cost, you know, when we can make a mint.
I mean, that's one way to think about it, Gordy. Let's capitalize on other people's suffering.
Right?
Sure. Sure, why not?
That's the American way.
Load. Yeah, right. I suppose.
Supply and demand.
Right. Right. Yeah, yeah. That's so crazy, it could work. You know, I'm kind of thinking that I wonder how far back you need to have been a redhead for this to work, because there are pictures of me as a young kid with red hair. Maybe I could, you know, dig one of those up. I don't know if it counts when it's like from the late 1970s.
Interesting.
But, you know, again, anything to get a free ticket to the movies these days.
This would actually get me to the movies, I think, if I lived in Europe.
Yes. And speaking of redheads, a Missouri man says in a class action lawsuit against Bass Pro Shops that the outdoor outfitter is refusing to honor its lifetime warranty on socks. According to local news reports, Ken Slaughter of Springfield said that after years of exchanging his redhead lifetime guarantee all-purpose wool socks every time they wore out, the company changed its policy in 2021 before he tried to return four pairs of socks. Instead of getting another pair with a lifetime warranty, Slaughter said he was given socks that only carried a 60-day warranty. The lawsuit said Bass Pro is misrepresenting the socks in its ads because it says they are the last sock you'll ever need to buy because of the lifetime warranty. Slaughter said in the lawsuit that the warranty was a major factor in his decision to buy the socks.
Wow.
I mean, jeez. I mean, these must have been some expensive socks.
I guess so.
I mean, I didn't know socks could cost that much. I've recently bought some very expensive running socks, so I realized I never knew that socks could really cost a lot of money, but apparently they can, and I have to assume these were as well.
Well, breaking news to me. Who knew there could be a lifetime warranty on socks?
I mean, you know what? You buy a handful of pairs, you just keep exchanging them every time. I mean, maybe you never have to buy socks again, or at least that's what he was thinking before this happened.
Wow, class action lawsuit.
I mean, you know,
over socks.
He's hopping mad. He must be out some bucks here.
My goodness. I guess they need to change the phrasing. The last sock you'll ever need to buy this summer.
Right, sure. Yeah. 60-day warranty,
fall,
right?
Yeah.
check out our new styles coming this fall.
Thank you, Mike. How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save. Thanks for being with us. If you're looking to save some money at the pump, you might want to change your tires, completely change them. A new report finds that not all-season tires are created equal when it comes to efficiency. Different tire designs and construction create different levels of rolling resistance, which can have a noticeable effect on economy. The Energy Department says from 4 to 11% of fuel is spent just overcoming this friction. This is especially significant for electric cars, many of which come with specially engineered tires to maximize their range between charges. But the situation is the same for internal combustion engine cars. Consumer Reports tested 18 popular performance all-season tires and found the force of the resistance varied from 9.1 pounds for a Nexen tire to 12.8 pounds for a Uniroyal model. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A deadly heat wave in Western Europe has triggered intense wildfires, disrupted transportation, and displaced thousands of people as the continent grapples with the impact of climate change. The record-breaking heat has prompted concerns over infrastructure problems such as melting roads, widespread power outages, and warped train tracks. This British tourist is visiting France.
Certainly not conditions to be doing a long-distance bike ride on.
At least five countries in Europe have declared states of emergency or red warnings as wildfires burn across France, Greece, Portugal, and Spain. In the past week, more than 31,000 people have been displaced from their homes in southwestern France.
Number two.
More than 4 years after Nicholas Cruz killed 17 people at a Parkland, Florida high school, jurors heard opening statements in the penalty phase of a trial that will determine whether he receives a death sentence. Prosecutor Mike Satz described how Cruz entered his former school on February 14, 2018 with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle and hundreds of rounds of ammunition and methodically shot victims.
These aggravating factors far outweigh any mitigating circumstance. Anything about the defendant's background, anything about his childhood, anything about his school, anything about his mental health.
Satz says Cruz's actions were cold, calculated, manipulative, and deadly.
Number three.
The nation's top general has ordered his staff to gather information about every interaction between the U.S. military and the Chinese military over the past 5 years to review the growing number of interactions with the Chinese military in the South China Sea. NBC News says the order from Joint Chiefs of Staff Mark Milley came after a call between Milley and his Chinese counterpart on July 7th. During that call, Chinese officials disputed the U.S. contention there's been an uptick in aggressive behavior by Chinese military aircraft and ships against U.S. and allied military operating in international waters that the Chinese view as their own territorial areas. The U.S. women got their revenge on Canada and an Olympic soccer spot to go with it. Alex Morgan converted a penalty in the 78th minute to give the U.S. a 1-0 victory over Canada in the CONCACAF Championship game last night. The U.S. qualified for the Paris Games in 2024 with the win.
Very good. Thank you, Jen. Thanks for being with us. A husband and wife who are each turning 100 years old this month know a thing or two about marriage because they've seen a thing or two. Hubert and June Malicote say the secret to being married nearly 80 years is two things they agreed to early on. They always share a kiss before bedtime, and whenever a disagreement arises, they take a time out from each other before talking it through. They told the Washington Post they've never quarreled. The pair live in Hamilton, Ohio, where they met at a church in September of 41 when they were 19. They raised three kids after he returned from Navy service in World War II. The Malicotes were both raised on farms, he in Indiana, she in Kentucky. Hubert was one of 13 siblings and June was one of eight. They both lived simple lives and said they longed for little. Because of that, Hubert said, we knew how to deal with problems, how to take care of money, how to spend, and how to save. Married almost 80 years. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.